live. All right, everybody. I know there's nobody in this broadcast right now, but maybe you're going to check it out later. So I'm Manny.
I'm Jace.
All right, we're just messing with you guys. I'm Jace. He's Manny. We are the Comic Source Podcast. So doing the whole video thing is kind of a new thing for us. And, you know, I've been on a few YouTube live streams lately. It's been a lot of fun. And with the DC fandom coming up this weekend, Manny and I thought it would be a whole lot of fun to live stream it so you guys can see our reactions to big news right when it happens. And also, there'll be some downtime here and there where we can read your comments in the chat, and we can, you know, talk about the things that are being announced and get your reactions and what has you excited as well. So we're going to stream the whole eight hours, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific on Saturday. For those who didn't hear the news, DC has decided to split up fandom. And now, instead of four or five different channels with different programs going on throughout the day where you kind of had to pick and choose between what was going on, now the only live stream that's going to be happening is all in one channel called the Hall of Heroes. And that's where everything is going to take place. So you just tune into the Hall of Heroes or join us on YouTube, and we'll be streaming it for you. And again, you'll be able to see our reactions, and you're not going to be able to miss, you're not going to miss anything. There's no having to choose between, oh, do I want to go to the comic book panel? Do I want to go to the movie panel? Do I want to go to the TV panel? So it's great that DC decided to do this. I heard that it was had a lot to do with kind of fan reaction and response. A lot of people were kind of bummed out that they, even if you stayed awake for 24 hours to see the encore presentations, you just couldn't see everything, right? So if you can't make it this weekend, all the other stuff, a lot of the comic book stuff and some of the TV stuff is still going to happen. It's going to be in a few weeks on September 12th. And that stuff's all going to be on demand. So at certain times throughout the weekend, that weekend of the 12th, starting at the same time at 10 a.m. Pacific, they're just going to release everything. Like, I went and looked at the schedule. It's like 25 or 30 panels at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, just go live. Now, what we don't know is how long those are going to stay active. But there's a ton of stuff on Saturday. And then on Sunday, a lot of the content in the kids area is going to go live on Sunday. So all kinds of cool cartoon stuff and activities for kids. There's cosplay contests and all kinds of stuff. So again, we don't know how long that stuff's going to be live. We do know that all the content that is streaming this Saturday, August 22nd, is only going to be available for 24 hours, which makes sense because things like the world premiere of Superman Man of Tomorrow, well, they're not going to put it up on YouTube or stream it through their platform and then have it just stay out there forever, because then nobody's going to go buy the DVD or pay for a digital download. So we do know this content on Saturday is only going to be available for the 24-hour period. So a lot of people are going to be talking about it. Again, if you can't make it starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time, they are going to replay it twice. So everything is going to air three times. They're going to be 3 8-hour blocks. And Manny and I are going to go through the schedule right now and talk about some of the things that we are most excited about. I haven't looked at it that closely. I've been just like super busy lately doing interviews and reading comics and getting content out for you. So my plan was to take a look at it today and put my schedule together. And then when DC announced everything was being split out, then I didn't really need to look at the schedule because I just know I tune into Hall of Heroes and I just watch everything. So again, we really encourage you guys to join us on Saturday if you can. Follow us on social media. The link to the YouTube Live will be there on Saturday. You can watch us that way. Or if you go to the LRM online website, we're going to try to embed the YouTube video on at the top of the website, so it should work. Haven't done it before. Like, you know, the Comic Source actually started out as a YouTube channel, so I used to know how YouTube worked, but that was 8 years ago, dude. We've been around for 8 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah, and so YouTube's changed a lot in 8 years. You know, we were setting this up and we were supposed to actually start like almost an hour ago when we were learning. Yeah. We were learning the platform and testing out different things. And Manny's like, have we not put anything up out on YouTube in 5 years? I'm like, no, it's only been a year. And he's like, and what before that? Yeah, a year. So
yeah.
The last 2 years we put out only two videos. Obviously, you know, if you do follow me on social media or you follow Dark Knight Nation, you've seen me over on that channel. But like I said, we're going to try to do a few more of these. Manny and I were talking today about some other ideas we have for doing some live stuff, and people really seem to like it. You know, the whole reason we got away from doing the video thing was that the post-production and
the editing
it just took forever, but people seem to enjoy the live interaction, and it's fine. Like, I record it, we record live, and if we flub something, we flub something. We're human, not worried about, you know, graphics necessarily. We can share our screens, and I'm going to do that here in a minute so we can go over the schedule. And it just kind of is what it is, and just put it out there, and you guys can enjoy it and interact with us. So, we may try to do more of this kind of video stuff in the future, just because it'll give us a different dimension and maybe reach a new audience. And comics are, let's face it, a visual medium as well as reading. So being able to do these, you know, maybe we'll do some new comic book day ones where, you know, oftentimes we're talking about, hey, this art is really great or this cover's awesome and you can't see it. We might do that. It just kind of depends. We'll see how this goes on Saturday. See how this one goes tonight as well. I will release this as an audio only also. So if you're a subscriber to the podcast, you can just listen to it that way. Obviously, you won't be able to see anything, as you know, but there's not going to be too much graphic stuff in this one. We're just going to be going over the schedule. So let me go ahead and share my screen so we can see the schedule.
While you do that, I did want to clarify one thing. The September 12th edition of DC Fandom is also going to be 24 hours only. But that one will be an on-demand experience where there's not necessarily a schedule that you have to follow.
So everything in the Watchverse, the Kidverse, the Uverse, the Funverse, and the Insiderverse, basically everything else that's going to be available either on Saturday, September 12th, or I thought some of them were on Sunday, but I don't see that now. Everything I'm looking at now says Sunday or right. Saturday, September 12th. But it's also only going to be available just for that 24 hours.
That's right. According to the press release.
I hope they decide to keep some of it up longer than that. I mean, it's fine. I understand not wanting to keep things like screenings and sneak peeks and trailers and that kind of thing. But, you know, some of the stuff like this Ass of Beast Boy, Cyborg and Robin, like, why not leave that up for the kids, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure some of the things are going to make their way to the different DC properties, whether it's YouTube or their main channel. So it's just a matter of what they decide is viable. Like you said, the films are probably not going to be viable, the world releases and things like that. And who knows, maybe some of the big reveals that they won't want to keep up.
Right, exactly. So. Okay, so do you want to go ahead and just start down the list? We start with probably their biggest I don't want to say biggest property, but maybe most anticipated. Like, this should have been out already, right?
We should have had it already.
It was supposed to be, was it July?
It may, I believe so. Let me take a look.
So, yeah, we're talking about Wonder Woman 1984. Manny was ready to, he was all prepared. He was ready to rock the fanny pack heading to the movies, stash his milk duds in there and his car keys. So we're going to, and again, a lot of these panels are going to be pre-recorded, but according to the text here, we're going to see Gal Gadot, Chris Pine, Kristen Wiig, and Pedro Pascal, as well as director, co-writer, producer Patty Jenkins, join forces with host Erico Borga. I'm not sure. I mean, it says Brazilian. I don't know who these people are, but Erico Borga and Aline Denise, I hope I'm saying that right, celebrate the fans in the big way. They'll answer questions from fans from all over the world, talk fan art and cosplay, and reveal an all new sneak peek at the upcoming film, plus a few more surprises, 25 minutes. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to this movie. In fact, when the first trailer dropped and I showed my daughter, she was like, whoa. Well, she had two things to say. First, three things, I guess. First thing she said was, whoa. And then she said, man, 1984 was a long time ago, you know, making her old man feel old. And then the last thing she said is when the date popped up, she's like, I have to wait how long? So, you know, pretty, and now she's had to wait even longer. So I think, when did you look it up, man? Did you see when it was
Yeah, it was. So it's actually been delayed several times. It was supposed to be out in 2019, but they pushed it back. And the date it was set for was June 5th, 2020. And here we are in August, and we're still talking about this movie without a reveal. I think it was probably going to be one of their feature films at WonderCon, but obviously that didn't happen. So,
well,
Comic-Con didn't happen.
Yeah, June 5th would have been before San Diego Comic-Con, so yeah.
So just kind of like the same way they did it with the first Wonder Woman film. It was, a feature at WonderCon. I mean, it makes sense. WonderCon, Wonder Woman, why not? I will say that the one thing I do not want to see is don't reveal Cheetah to me. Let me see that in theaters. I understand that, you know, there's a... Because do you remember a couple of years ago when they did the Batman v Superman trailer and they revealed Doomsday?
Yeah.
It's like how much it would have been so much better if you could have just held on and just let that be a reveal in the movie. It would have been a lot more impactful, and maybe it would have been a little bit.
I guess I can see both sides though, especially now with this is supposed to come out in October. I'm not going to be comfortable going to a movie theater in October. So I don't know when.
A lot of people aren't, yeah.
And it's like, but I want to see, this is a movie you need to see on the big screen so you can experience it. So I don't know how I feel about it. Like, am I going to go sit in a movie theater and like put on a hazmat suit and go, or just go and sit on like the edge of the seat with a mask on and not touch anything?
Well, one of your options is to find one of the many, classic American drive-ins and see it there.
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. Yeah, there's a drive-in here, and well, it's in Glendale. It's like not too far from where.
That's
I
not
am.
Bad. Yeah.
25 minutes. So yeah, maybe that's an option. But I agree with you. I hope they don't show Cheetah, but at the same time, I will understand if they do, because let's be honest here. Warner Brothers just, you know, they had 800 people lose their jobs because they're losing money hand over fist right now, not being able to make any TV shows, movies, that kind of thing. You know, AT&T, we talked about it, $160 billion in debt. They need this to be a big hit. So I could see them, if some higher up at Warner Brothers thinks, yeah, putting Cheetah in the trailer is going to get people excited and get more butts in the seats, I could see them doing it. But I agree with you. I hope they don't, but I guess we'll see. The other thing that's interesting, I mean, they really are packing a lot in. Like, if this had happened at WonderCon, this probably would have been, like you said, a featured panel, like Wonder Woman was. It would have been like a 90-minute
right panel
in the dome, you know, fan dome. It would have been at the Anaheim convention
at their arena. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I can't remember what it's called. They have a name for it. Something dome or
the arena.
Is it the arena?
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah, but it is dome shaped. So yeah, we would have seen the new trailer. They probably would have had Gal Gadot and Chris Pine there, and Patty Jenkins. They were there last time, if I remember correctly, right, for Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and we didn't get the draw to go meet her.
That's right. That's right. We didn't.
We stood in line for 2.5-3 hours and nothing.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's a lot to pack in only 25 minutes. So,
true.
All right. The Fandom Store. This is one of the on-demand things, and you can see it last from August 22nd, 10 a.m. till Saturday, or till Sunday rather, at 10 a.m. I'll just click into it real fast. And I'm not sure if there's going to be a link in here or how you're going to get to it. And what we also don't know, or I'm not aware. Maybe it was in the press release, something I didn't see. Did they say anything about any exclusive fandom stuff that you can only buy?
They have not mentioned it, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's exclusive things.
Yeah.
I'm sure that to make your experience as vivid as possible, they should also have a virtual line for you.
Well, you can have multiple browser windows open. On this screen, you're in line, and on this screen, you're looking at it. You know, I'm telling you, this pandemic and the way they've been putting these conventions online with the virtual stuff, we may have seen the end of the old type of convention, Like now people, even if I'm standing in line at San Diego, you know, like especially if you're in line for Hall H, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're in line for Hall H for a day and a half,
right,
or whatever, 20 hours, let's say, hey, let me stream some of the other panels that I'm missing out on my phone. So I, you know, it's not the same as being in the room, but you can at least, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if we get back to it, I don't really see that you'll lose that exclusiveness. And then I think of the.
Well, yeah, no. I agree with you. And what I was going to follow that up with by saying is, but let's say that it's only broadcast in a certain geographic area.
Oh, okay. Or, I can see that. And somehow that works.
Yeah. Or you have to be joined to the convention center network, the convention center
network. No, that would be horrible. That's a lot of people. So, you know what? Okay. Hear me out, because you gave me a great idea. Why don't, if you're going to allow streaming like that, log in with your badge.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. Yeah.
It's just that easy.
Put in your badge ID and mm-hmm. that's how you log in. Yeah. We have the best ideas.
I don't understand why don't we work for some of these other companies. But then again, I'd be terrified to work for like a DC or Marvel. And
I know that.
People get cut all the time.
I know why I don't work for them, because they wouldn't pay me as much as I make at my regular day job.
True.
Plus, would you really want to work for Pamela Lifer? I would not.
No.
I would be fired. I would be fired immediately.
You know what? I quit.
I'm sorry. What did you say, Satan? Oh,
no, devil! Wow.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's
move it along.
Yeah, let's keep moving along here. Warner Brothers Games Montreal. No idea, gamers. You won't want to miss the first look at the exciting new game with Q&A and its developers. 20 minutes.
So, I mean,
rumors.
We kind of have an idea of what this is, because they've been WB Games Montreal has been teasing it. Last year during Batman Day, they kind of released the first symbol that teased a possible Batman game featuring the Court of Owls. And then just a couple of days ago as well, they did the same thing. And some game insiders also have anticipated that this game is going to be the next game in the next Batman game featuring the Scott Snyder Court of Owls.
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned Scott Snyder. The only reason that I heard about this, that there was going to be a Batman Court of Owls game, is because maybe it was Warner Brothers Montreal. I'm not sure who it was, but somebody tweeted about a Batman Court of Owls game, and Scott Snyder retweeted it. Because I don't follow any gaming stuff, but I follow Scott Snyder.
And yeah, he was surprised that Court of Owls was trending on Twitter.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, and he tagged Greg Capullo, and then in another tweet, Scott Snyder retweeted I guess it must have been Warner Brothers Montreal. I'm like, oh, that's probably why it was trending. So interesting. I've never even played any of the Arkham games. I'm not a gamer.
So good, love them.
My
daughter actually loves to sit while I play it. She'll Emma will just say, hey, can you play Batman so that I can watch? And it's like, yeah, sure. And so there I go. Whichever one we decide to play at the moment. So I find them all super entertaining.
I will say that even though I don't play any of them, I'm glad that they exist. And I'm glad that there's another one coming out, because, hey, man, that's money in Warner Brothers' pocket.
Right? Yeah, come on, man.
Maybe
get back up there.
Maybe that'll satisfy Satan a little bit, or the devil.
The next panel actually surprises me a little bit. That's the Sandman Universe Entering the Dreaming panel. And that's a 10:45. Neil Gaiman, Dirk Maggs, G. Willow Wilson, and Michael Sheen discussed the legacy of the Sandman comic book series and how it's been expanded with new stories adapting into new mediums and enthralled audiences around the world.
Yeah,
30 minutes.
G. Willow Wilson, I can't remember. Was she on one of the Sandman Universe books?
I don't know. I'm the only book I read out of that kind of
Books
universe
of
per se. Yeah, Book of Magic.
I'm going to look it up real fast. The only reason I say that is because, you know, we were in the room when they at WonderCon when they announced it.
That's right.
And I don't remember her being one of the people.
No, I don't either. That was a whole. Okay,
so yes, she wasn't on one of the original books that launched with the Sandman universe.
Okay.
She is the writer on the Sandman universe series, The Dreaming Waking Hours. So the original one was just was Sandman Universe, The Dreaming. Now there's a new series called The Waking, which I've heard a lot of people saying really good things about on Twitter. So she's the writer for that. So that's probably why. And it's doing really well. I think only the first one or two issues are out. But yeah, you're right. Only 30 minutes. Again, these panels seem so short. They're really packing in the information. And the other thing you notice, it says adapted into new mediums. We know that earlier this year, I think it was on Audible as an audiobook, Sandman. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
On for the first time, and it did like really, really well. Did gangbusters, and they're planning on continuing the story because it was so successful. So, I'm not the biggest Sandman fan. So,
same.
Yeah, this will be one where I just kind of, I don't know, maybe eat my breakfast. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Up next, Multiverse 101 panel. This one's 30 minutes, and you talk about multiverse. So Jim Lee and DC Film Production President Walter Hamada, as well as Greg Berlanti, who is the kind of the head of DC TV, if you will.
Right. He does quite a bit of work.
Yeah. So expect that to be a well-attended panel with a lot of information.
Yeah, so you know, if you're barely getting into DC, you want to know where everything stands, I think that's a good place to start. Speaking of 101 panels, the next one, Introduction Flash panel, I find that interesting because it also states that it's a 101 style conversation with the Flash, filmmaker Andy Muschietti, Barbara Muschietti, and Erza Miller. Oh, okay. Screenwriter Christina Hodson will give fans speedy rundown on the first ever Flash feature film. 10 minutes. That seems like it needs to be longer.
Well, yes and no. Like, okay, I get the whole let's make it a pun because it's Flash and it's going to be speedy. Yeah. But I mean, they have the people who are writing it, or the screenwriter. Hodson, they've got a couple of the producers, but they don't have a director. We know it's going to have Ezra Miller.
Andy Muschietti is the director.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, but I mean, if they haven't even if Hodson hasn't even finished writing the script,
right.
Like there may not be much to say. You know, like how do you stretch it out? So it'd be interesting to know. Like, so did they schedule the times that these panels were going to take, or did they record the panels first and then edit them and then say, okay, this one takes this amount of time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
I don't know.
There might not be much to say. Now, if we hadn't had the pandemic and had the shutdown, might've been a different story. You know, might've been more to say that would have been further along. So, yeah, I mean, I like Ezra Miller as an actor. I don't think he's the right choice for Flash.
I haven't seen him enough as the Flash, so I can't comment yet.
He was funny. It was funny and entertaining.
I will say it was a fantastic moment during Crisis on Infinite Earths to see Grant Gustin's Barry Allen and Ezra Miller's Barry Allen come face to face. That was a really cool way to connect things. And I know that it happened at the last minute, but I'm glad it did.
I've never seen the Flash TV show, so I can't speak to that. But for me, in the Justice League movie, I think Ezra Miller would have been like they should have made him Bart Allen instead of Barry Allen. He was more of a jokester like Bart than a serious guy like Barry, I felt like. So,
but you know, WB was never going to let that fly.
Is there a Bart Allen in the TV show?
No. Oh. They, okay. But I'm sure that they just want the original.
I suppose that's
their core group.
Yeah. So next up, you want to talk about speedy panels. Next up, we have Beyond Batman. It's a 5-minute thing. And the Batman of the swinging 60s culture clashes with the Batman of the far flung future when Batman Beyond and his mentor, old Bruce Wayne, intercept a broadcast of the 1966 Batman TV show. So it sounds like this is going to be an animated thing where animated Batman Beyond and animated old Bruce Wayne are watching a clip from the Pow, Bam, Biff, Adam West Batman.
Yeah, well, TV show. Yeah, it is what it is. commercial, pretty much.
Commercial for, I would say DC Universe, but we know all the content is moving over to HBO Max. So
that's right. Yeah. The next right. panel, I think, is a more highly anticipated panel.
I'm scrolling a little because I want to be sure that I'm saying this.
Yeah, we have a lot to cover, so we're going to try to speed it up a little bit.
Yeah, so the next panel. I think this is my most anticipated panel. This is the one I'm most excited about. What else would you expect from the Suicide Squad but the ultimate elimination game? First up, writer and director James Gunn takes on fan questions that bring out Task Force X, then brings out Task Force X for a fast-paced, no-holds-barred squad showdown that tests every team's member squad knowledge and survival skills. So that's great. They're going to ask the people that are in the Suicide Squad movies questions about the Suicide Squad. So don't know if it's going to be questions from the Suicide Squad general knowledge, from the comics, from the first Suicide Squad movie, but I like this. I like this. I'm excited for this movie.
Oh yeah.
I'm one of those people, I didn't think the first Suicide Squad movie was that bad. Yes, it had problems. Yes, it had most of it to do with editing, which we talked about on the podcast at the time, how they tested a David Ayer cut of the movie, and they tested, I swear to God, an edited version of the movie that was edited by a company that makes movie trailers.
Yeah.
A movie trailer is so different than making an actual movie. They're completely different animals. So the fact that they did that, and then they tested both of those with test audiences and then mashed them together. It didn't work. There are a lot of things that didn't work. I'm not a fan of Joel Kinnaman as an actor. We all know I'm not a fan of the Joker, but the Jared Leto Joker could be the worst Joker ever. So there were a lot of problems with it, but there was a lot of things to like as well. So now that James Gunn, who for whatever reason WB seems to trust more than David Ayer, and so far it seems like things are more hands off, and it's probably to do with the success he had on the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Right. So,
he's just going to do what he does, and I can't wait to see this movie. I'm really, really excited for it.
They've been teasing the panel a little bit on the Suicide Squad social media pages, and I think James Gunn as well. You got a little bit of a clips of it, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely one to look out for.
Yeah, remind me some of the people. Like, is Idris Elba Deadshot, or am I just?
No, he has a, so tomorrow is when they're really going to reveal
who's in it. I remember his name.
Not tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah. I remember his name being thrown out there.
I think at first they were planning on, the rumors were that he was going to be taking over as Deadshot, but I think that they decided that they're going to bank on Will Smith playing his character again. So they decided to give him a different character.
Okay. So Will Smith is coming back as Deadshot?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, because I didn't think he did that great of a job. And I've talked about this before. When I see Will Smith in a movie, like, I'm acutely aware I'm watching Will Smith in a movie instead of, you know, seeing the character. So we'll see. I hope that we get Captain Boomerang back, Jay Courtney. I thought he did a really great job.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're going to see Harley, but I'm kind of over Harley at this point. So who else shows up? I guess we'll see, but I'm pretty excited. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. This BAWSE, females of color within the DC universe. What is BAWSE? Find out here with the hottest actresses across DC television. Sit down with celebrity DJ D Nice. I don't know who that is. Grammy winning actress Estelle. I don't know who that is.
And I don't know who that is.
I don't know who any of these people are either, except because I don't watch any of these shows, except for Candace Patton. I literally know none of these people. So
Javicia Leslie is the new Batwoman.
Okay. I know I mean, I've never seen her or anything, but I've seen pictures of her. I'm excited for that new Batwoman. So it could be interesting.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. So, all right, moving on. Next up, we have the Legacy of the Bat panel. Calling all Batman fans, don't miss a discussion of the wide scope of the Batman universe, including the Batman family of characters. Key talent from comics, TV, games will provide insight into the world of Caped Crusader. Again, only 15 minutes, so it must be people only on screen for a minute or two. So I'm sure we're going to see probably Scott Snyder, probably James Tynan, probably going to see
Kevin Conroy.
I'm wondering if we might get any Ben Affleck.
I think he's pretty done with the character.
Maybe Robert Pattinson then?
Maybe. I don't
know. So we'll see. We know we're not going to get any Adam West, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Next up, another one of my favorites I'm looking forward to. We're having a 10-minute performance by Chris Daughtry, Grammy nominee, multi-platinum recording artist, huge DC super fan, and a comic artist in his own right, delivers a solo acoustic performance of Waiting for Superman, a song inspired by the Man of Steel himself. I love that song, by the way. Like karaoke.
Oh, okay. So you're not being sarcastic. Gotcha.
I'm not, dude. I want Chris Daughtry.
No, it's fine.
Lead single from his band's 2013 album, Baptized. Yeah, I know that song by heart, dude. I could karaoke the crap out of that song. So yeah, it should be. He's also going to do a full band performance of his brand new song, World on Fire. So yeah, I actually met Chris Daughtry in person at San Diego Comic-Con one year.
Wow,
in the
nice.
DC booth. In the DC booth. Yeah, I have a picture of it somewhere. But I was walking around the DC booth with Jaden, and I'm like, oh, Chris Daughtry, hey, you mind if I take a picture? And he's like, oh, no problem, man. He's really short. He's like, only came up to here.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, really, really cool. And I wish it had happened a couple years later, because I would have invited him on the podcast to talk about comics, not talk about any of the music stuff. So yeah, I'm actually looking forward to that. That's going to be really cool. Okay, next panel I can definitely skip. Joker put on a happy face, thank God it's only 5 minutes. Featuring interviews with filmmakers and industry legends, discover the origins and evolution of the Joker, learn why the clown prince of crime is universally hailed as the greatest comic book supervillain of all time. Okay, first of all, he's not a supervillain. He's a villain. He's not super. He doesn't have any powers. And I don't know how many interviews you can squeeze in 5 minutes, but I guess we'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
Happy that's only 5 minutes. Next one's interesting. Jim Lee portfolio review. So Jim Lee's going to be looking at some fan-submitted art that focuses on DC supervillains, 10 minutes. We know when DC fandom first got announced, DC asked fans, hey, send us your DC art. Send us your, like if you have a DC comic room in your house and that kind of thing. I didn't send anything in because my stuff's more eclectic than that. And they don't want, you know, I'd have to take down anything that wasn't DC. That's way too much work. So, but anyway, looking forward to seeing what the fan art looks like. I did see Jim Lee talk a few times on Twitter about how amazing the art is that it's been submitted. Next up at 1:45 p.m. Pacific, we have a surprise DC Comics panel, 20 minutes. Your guess is as good as mine. It could be, maybe we're finally going to find out what's going to come next after the DC Dark Metal.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
So maybe that's going to happen. Not sure. Maybe. I guess we'll have to wait. And then I Am Batman, Voices Behind the Cowl. So
I feel like we've seen that a dozen times.
Well, that's the other thing too, right? Like for sure you're going to see Kevin Conroy in this one. Everyone has their favorite Batman, but for audiences around the world, their favorite Batman has a local sound. Time to meet the voices behind the cowl. I don't even know like who else has done Batman other than Kevin Conroy, and is his name Dietrich Bader?
Yeah.
That did him in Batman Brave and the Bold. So curious about that. Next up, so this is another panel that a lot of people are really excited about. The Snyder Cut of the Justice League panel. So Zack Snyder fields questions from fans and his few surprise guests as he discusses his eagerly awaited upcoming cut of the 2017 feature film and the movement that made it happen. I'm going to let you talk about this first before I
talk. Okay. So this is one of the things that I'm most excited for, just because I am very curious to see what this all ends up being just because of how adamant Zack Snyder has been. I mean, month after month after month of releasing clips, photos, storyboards. I mean, you name it. He's via his Vero account. He's been very adamant about how his movie was going to be so epic, and I'm not all about the hype, but I'm very curious to watch it. I do want to see what he had in mind for the film. I do want to see the film in a different color palette, and I definitely want to see what he had in store for character like Darkseid, and also his original envision for Steppenwolf, just because I hated him so much in that movie. So, and also we're going to get a black suit Superman, which I think is pretty great. So it will be fun to see if by the time they release this on HBO Max next year, is it going to be a I told you so moment, where, or is it going to be a you should have just let it go. God,
I haven't really considered that, but God, could it possibly be? I mean, again, much like Suicide Squad, I didn't think Justice League was that bad. Certainly not as bad as most people seem to think. I enjoyed it. I thought it had some really great moments. It had a lot of problems too, chief among them being Steppenwolf. Yeah, he wasn't a good character. But yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it's going to be worse than how Justice League was perceived. And for that matter, like anybody who is a Snyder brony and has been clamoring for this, they will never come out and admit that it's not any good.
No. Oh no. This is kind of like the Marvel zombies syndrome that goes on over at the MCU.
Yeah. So there's no way that they were vocal. So I have mixed feelings about this as well. First of all, I think this sets a horrible precedent that you let a bunch of, and I'm not saying it's everybody, but you let a bunch of toxic fans, you know, badmouth what actually was and, you know, clamor for something that, in my opinion, every DC movie that Zack Snyder made hasn't been any good. So I don't know what makes you think that this would have been any different. And then when we had Snyder live on camera, badmouthing comic fans, badmouthing people for saying that Batman shouldn't kill people. Like, I already couldn't stand the guy, and that made me like even less of a fan of him. So I'm curious, but I don't know. There's part of me that's like, no, I don't even want to watch the Snyder cut because I don't want to give any sort of legitimacy to it. But I'm only one person. What am I going to start my own movement? Don't watch the Snyder cut? No. That's like live and let live. So again, I have mixed feelings, but I just think it sets a bad precedent that Warner Brothers gave into this toxic fandom. And I almost would guarantee you, if it wouldn't have been for the pandemic, they probably wouldn't have given in. But they were probably like, well, we can't film any new stuff right now, but we can almost release a brand new movie at kind of a minimum of cost if we just, they're probably not paying Zack Snyder for this.
You know? No, he said he's doing it on his own dime.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, if he wants to do all the work, yeah. If he wants to do all the work and edit it and we'll release it and we'll make money off of it, why wouldn't we do that? Right. And again, it may be part of the whole AT&T merger, need to make money, need to make that purchase of Warner Brothers pay off. So I have mixed feelings, but I know this is going to be one of the panels where they have the most viewers. People are really gonna want to watch it. But I didn't realize it's not till 2021. I thought it was later this year.
No, so it's spring next year.
Wow. So, I mean, there's still a lot. I mean, again, and we know it wasn't complete and there's a lot of special effects. So it probably is. I mean, I wonder if Snyder paying for all the special effects?
I'm not sure. I don't know that.
All right. Well, that's definitely going to be a well-attended panel. Flash TV panel. Doesn't have a description, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory. It's the Flash TV panel. Doesn't even know how long it is, but starts at 2:54, and then what is this? 16 minutes later, we've got the Black.
I think it's just like a recap, a series recap or something. No, it's probably what they're doing.
It's probably 15 minutes. Again, really speedy. I'm pretty excited about this too. I think Dwayne Johnson is a good choice for Black Adam, not a great choice. Like, he's big and buff, but Black Adam has always been a little more svelte. But I think it could work. I think it could work. I think he's a decent actor. Clearly, you know, action oriented. So right here we've got sets the stage for the story and the tone of the new movie. With a fan's first Q&A and a few surprises. I hope the few surprises, maybe we'll see some footage. Did they start filming at all?
I don't remember. I know that they've been working on it, but
maybe at least a screen test, some kind of video footage. Like, get me excited.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Let me at least, even if it's just him in the costume,
yeah, you know,
in front of a background, that would go a long way toward like, am I going to believe this guy as Black Adam or not? You think they're going to leave him bald?
I'm pretty sure they are.
That's one of the things I like about Black Adam is the widow's peak hair. But I don't know. I don't know if that would work for The Rock. He'd probably look weird to me.
Yeah, with hair? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
He hasn't had hair in a while. I mean, I used to see it when he was back in WWF. But, yeah.
Next up, CNN Heroes, Real Life Heroes in the Age of Coronavirus. Interesting. 20 minutes talking. CNN Heroes shines a light on real everyday people making a difference in the communities. So that's kind of interesting. They're using their platform to kind of highlight some people working in the medical field, probably other frontline workers. So TV Titans panel. We already had a second season of Titans on DC Universe, right?
Yep.
So have they announced the third season yet?
I think they're working on the third season, and they brought it up a couple of times.
Yeah, so maybe
that show has all kinds of problems. I think that's a topic for a different day.
Well, I heard good things about the first season, and the second season I heard it kind of went off the rails. So,
Well, what they did, and I still don't know exactly why they did this, is that they took the season finale for the first season and made it the second season. The second season's first episode, and it just really
it was exact same episode.
It didn't flow.
Wow.
No, they didn't. They just cut the episode from the first season, and that was episode one of season two.
Gotcha.
So their confrontation with Trigon doesn't happen until the beginning of the second season, and then it really doesn't factor too much into the second season.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe they didn't have time to finish it or something. I don't know. All right, next up, Aquaman panel. So director James Wan for Aquaman 2, as well as King Orm, Patrick Wilson, who he's not king anymore at the end of the first movie.
No, he's not.
Deep dive into the world of Atlantis that Wan created, revealing their favorite behind-the-scenes moments from the largest DC movie ever, 10 minutes. So probably not going to get anything about the second Aquaman movie from based on that description. But maybe they'll surprise us.
I'm not holding my breath.
Ask Harley Quinn. So this Ask Harley Quinn thing has been something that they have been doing on the DC Universe app, based on the Harley Quinn animated series. So I'm surprised it doesn't say, because I've seen some of the panels say like uncensored. I'm surprised it doesn't say that here, based on, you know, how that series goes and how it's R-rated. Wonder Woman 80th anniversary celebration. So we're going to see a little bit more of Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins, along with a very special guest, as they reflect on the character's influence on them. 5 minutes. Who do you think the special? I have 100% somebody in mind that I think is the special guest.
Your special guest is, I don't remember her name. She played the president in Supergirl.
Played Wonder Woman the first time around?
Yeah. Leslie Carter?
Linda.
Linda. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Linda Carter. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's my guess as well. Linda Carter is going to be on that panel. Tomorrow's Superheroes with Jim Lee, brought to you by Gold House. Jim Lee joins Bing Chen, founder of the global nonprofit Collective Gold House, to discuss the important contributions of Asian artists and writers in comics and comic-inspired entertainment. 15 minutes. Again, it's not something I'm really interested in, but some of these panels, like this one, and then the other one that we talked about where it's being hosted by some Brazilian people, it ties in 100% with what we saw Jim Lee tell the Hollywood Reporter about wanting to expand things internationally. So it makes a lot of sense that they're doing these kind of things. Shazam panel, Zach Levi and Cass can't tell you. I don't know what that is. Sworn to secrecy for the upcoming movie. Is there a Shazam 2? Was it that announced already?
Yeah, they're doing a Shazam 2.
I didn't know that.
Well, they need to work on it soon because they didn't want the kids to get that much older.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they this is obviously pre-pandemic, so I still think that they're probably trying to get it done quickly, but it's just difficult. But yeah, they're trying. What the whole point was, they just don't want the kids to get that much older.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, the castmates from the next Shazam movie, I guess, talk with Philippines' number one DC fan, Gino Kiomar, I guess it is, about what the next movie might be about, while commenting on everything from panels to the other Zack's cut, and even a few surprise guests drop in. So 10 minutes on that one. Next up, we have another Wonder Woman panel. The Wonder Woman 84 cast play Werewolf 1984. So join the cast of Wonder Woman 1984 and Rooster Teeth's Fiona Nova as they play Werewolf 1984, a fun adaptation of a game they played while on set filming the picture. Can you figure out who the villains are? I don't know anything about Werewolf 1984 or if that's a game they made up.
I don't know what that is either.
I mean, well, look at it. I mean, it's WW 1984. So who knows? I thought maybe they were talking about like Castle Wolfenstein or something like that. So I don't know. I guess we'll find out when we tune into that panel. And then we've got an encore at 6:25 of the Warner Brothers Montreal game announcement. At 6:30, we've got a host, Blurred and Bougie celebration featuring an exclusive DJ set by DJ Nice. Do you know who DJ Nice is? Never heard of that person.
I don't know who that is. So, so you just glossed over Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League?
Did I?
I think so, because after the
Werewolf
1984. Yeah. And then you glossed over right over the Batman panel. I'm very disappointed.
Sorry, man. Will Arnett hosts the highly anticipated video game reveal from Rocksteady Studios, creators of the Arkham franchise, 20 minutes. Yeah,
this
has a lot. I've heard more people excited about this game than a potential Batman Port of Owls game.
Well, here's the thing. We've seen Batman games, and you can throw a batarang, you're going to grapple, you're going to, you know, beat up people, drive the Batmobile. But now you're going to have the ability, hopefully, to play multiple characters from Task Force X. And so that's what I hope. So we'll see.
Captain Boomerang, that's going to be the same as throwing a batarang.
Here's all I don't want from this game. don't make it Harley Quinn centric, please. I don't care if you make it Deadshot centric or like make me Amanda Waller and I control everyone. You know, give me that power.
Make you Amanda Waller and you don't even do anything but assign people the missions.
That's right.
It's like Railroad Tycoon or something, or Sim City. Is there any gameplay in any of the Arkham games that where you have to like zoom in or do any kind of sniper type things?
There's stealth missions.
He doesn't use guns, so that's why I'm wondering if there's any. But you play as other characters besides Batman sometimes, right?
In one of them, you can play as Robin briefly.
Because I'm just wondering like how the Deadshot gameplay might be. So, all right. Well, again, a lot of people are going to be looking forward to that. All right, where was I? Okay, then the Batman panel. Filmmaker Matt Reeves joins host and self-professed fangirl Aisha Tyler for a discussion of the upcoming film with a surprise or two for the fans. I really honestly expect a new trailer and Robert Pattinson to show up. So that's probably why. But I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've heard some people that are excited that it's Robert Pattinson. And I've heard some people not excited that it's Robert Pattinson. But I haven't heard anybody gushing over it. Like, Bale got announced. Like, oh, it's going to be so good. And blah, you know what I mean?
Even Affleck got a pretty decent reaction.
Yeah. But Pattinson has been kind of lukewarm. I think a lot of people are like me, and they're like, well, I'm going to wait and see.
Here's the thing, though. Pattinson is a great actor. Unfortunately, his early movies of Twilight really put off a lot of people.
I've never seen the only thing I've ever seen Robert Pattinson in. He was in one of the Harry Potter movies, and I haven't even seen the whole movie, but my wife watches them all the time, so I've seen bits and pieces. So I've never sat there and watched, and so I can't even say whether he's a good actor or not.
He was so good in the Lighthouse with William Dafoe. And then also I enjoyed his role in Water for Elephants out of all the movies. I like circus movies.
My reluctance for him as Batman is just, he's so skinny and small, you know? And I liked Affleck. He was big and he was bulky and he was like a Dark Knight Returns Batman. And that really worked for me. So,
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, this is our Batman for the next three films, so we got to deal with it.
Yep. Okay, after that, we've got an encore of the Montreal announcement. And like I said, we've got this Blurred and Bougie boat party at San Diego 2019. Celebrity DJ Nice returns to celebrate Blurred, which apparently stands for Black Nerd Culture, and its impact around the world at DC Fandome. With the Blurred and Bougie after party, dance along with DJ Nice as he spins some of today's hits and yesterday's favorites from his live Instagram stream, 70 minutes. I have absolutely no idea how that's going to, like, I don't know. Like, are people going to be at home by themselves, like, dancing to this thing? Like,
it's like a radio, I guess.
Nothing. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. If we were invited to this at San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so starved for
a I feel you, man.
I would be all over it. So
even if you had to pay for alcohol?
I got booze behind me. I got more in the cabinet over there. So yeah, that's it. Everything else is encores. They're gonna play throughout the night into the following day. So again, because the rest of the channels, the rest of the verses, if you will, universes are going to be at a different time. We will just basically be tuned into the Hall of Heroes the whole time. And even if we're not particularly interested in the panel, we'll probably stream it. There may be a few here or there that we do skip if we have enough people watching with us that want to interact.
Right.
So if you're leaving a lot of comments, we'll address those and maybe we'll pause some streams or skip some streams. So we'll wait and see how it goes. If you plan on joining us for the live stream, please reach out on social media and let us know, so we kind of have an idea of what to expect. And I guess that's it. Like that's it for our first live stream. I'm gonna stop sharing my screen and move this back over so I can stop turning my head to look at Manny and I can see him in front of me. So yeah, I mean, I'm excited for DC Fandome. It's no true replacement for San Diego Comic-Con. And one thing about it is, as much as I love DC, with all the news that's come out lately, it's been kind of tough to navigate. And honestly, Marvel has caught up in quality a lot. Like when the books that came out this week, the books that came out today as we record this, I think overall the quality of the Marvel books I read was vastly superior to the DC books I read.
Interesting. So Marvel cut down their quantity and their quality goes up.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like Marvel hasn't been putting out as many books, but that's because they're still backlogged from the pandemic. DC was better set up to recover. So
right.
That is the thing. Like this San Diego is really looking forward to focusing a little less on DC stuff and trying to get you know, more of the Marvel stuff, more coverage and such. So it didn't happen. We didn't have the convention. And honestly, I really doubt that we're going to have a San Diego Comic-Con next year. I think it's not going to be in the first big convention I expect. If everything works out with the vaccine and all that, I would expect the first big convention next year to be New York Comic-Con, October 2021. But we'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong. And we get some stuff before that. And even then, it's going to be fewer people. We're going to see people walking around with masks at the convention. I'll probably wear a mask.
Like that wasn't a thing already. Everyone walks around with masks.
not me, usually. So, yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But again, thanks for joining us for our first live stream. We did have a few people that were talking to us in chat, and I never even noticed. So we have Zeus Tove saying, "What's up, guys?" But he said that like almost an hour
Jesse ago. Toes.
So, and look, my nephew.
Right on.
Well, so probably the only two people we had watching. So anyway, thanks for watching. If you guys hung in there, again, this will go up on YouTube and people can watch it later, and you can hear our thoughts on the panels, and hopefully a lot of you join us on Saturday and we have a fun time. So I guess that's it. Anything else you want to add, Manny?
You're stuck at home anyway. You might as well spend a couple of hours with us.
Yeah, it's true. And if you're planning on watching these panels anyway, just because you are only going to watch a couple panels, join us for those couple panels. You don't have to stay the whole 8 hours and sit in your chair and stare at the screen drooling the whole time like we're going to be doing.
We're not looking for – believe me, we are very, very happy that they cut it down to two events because now it spaces it out, and it also allows us to not be up for 24 hours straight.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And we learned a lot. We learned a lot on our first live stream here. So because I had the shared screen in the middle here that I was looking at, and I had the screen where we're broadcasting on the left, I totally missed these comments. I feel bad now that we
hey, this is what this is for. We're learning.
Yeah. So yeah, on the, when we do broadcast live, I will be sharing my right screen, which is this screen. Uh-oh, is it flickering for you?
It is flickering.
I wonder why it's doing that. Let me try that again.
I would say that maybe it's not a good idea to go through all the technical difficulties while we're still live streaming.
So yeah, I'm not sure, but I'll share one of the other screens so that I can see the stream and I'll look to the right to watch along with you people. So
awesome.
Sounds great. Thanks for joining, everybody. As always, really appreciate the support. Be sure you check out all our podcasts on whatever podcast platform you use, whether it's a podcast app on your phone, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. You know, you can even ask Alexa to play the Comic Source, and she
you will can
the podcast. So
it's a good thing to ask for.
Definitely is. So again, thanks everybody for joining our first live stream, or if you're listening on the podcast, let us know on social media if you're going to be joining us for the live stream on Saturday. Looking forward to it. So thanks again for your support, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.